Blog Talk Radio.
Can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like. And right now, it's a feel.
Now I know we said things, did things that we didn't mean. Then we fall back into the same patterns, same routine. But your temper's just as bad as mine is. You're the same as me. When it comes to love, you're just as blinded. Baby, please come back. It wasn't you. Baby, it was me. Maybe our relationship isn't as crazy as it seems. Maybe that's what happens when a tornado meets a volcano. All I know is I love you too much to walk away, though. Come inside. Pick up your bag off the sidewalk. Don't you hear sincerity in my voice when I talk? I'ma tie to the bed and set this house on fire. I'm just gonna
stand there and watch me burn. But that's alright, because I like the way it hurts. Just gonna stand there and hear me cry. But that's alright, because I love the way you lie. I love the way. I love the way you lie.
If words was crack, we would have the most potent shit around. If words is weed, then we got them by the pound. Get high with us tonight as Drip the Mic has found the perfect host to bring our good folks that sound. Every Tuesday it goes down. Your man Hezekiah has broken ground on the Drip the Mic Network, and he brings the Author's Lounge. This is where we meet and greet. Man, Drip the Mic don't compete. No need to be consumed with greed or dishonesty. We lead, uplift, and discuss as our need is to bring verbal muscle to the struggle and hustle to keep dropping digital and paperbacks for the world to read. The Author's Lounge, going up on a Tuesday, as he runs the mic, quarterback-like genius when he writes, and he picks his words Tuesday. This script could not have been better written in a movie. A good friend, Hezekiah, has moved in, then committed to moving in our circle and blessing us with his proven pen. Prioritize tuning in 6 p.m. Central and Eastern at 7 p.m. and listen in, because we be going in. And we would love for you to share this experience. Delirious shenanigans accompanied with verbal adjectives, praising words like they are gods, broken down into nouns, verbs, predicates, and adjectives. Since I learned of the days when, like, baseball cards, our melanin displayed us as property for trade, I prayed never again will we be a slave, so I behave as if I'm a human paraphrase. Learn to enunciate, ad-lib, and use my scribe to communicate. And today, the Artist Lounge provides a stage for like-minded kings and queens of the literary community, other artists, and those who create to explore. The Drip the Mic Hotel has opened the doors, as the next 2 hours you endure will be free of commercials, non-judgmental, and impartial, with Hezzy holding it down like Thurgood Marshall. Ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Author's Lounge with your host and my man, Hezzy in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Author's Lounge, presented to you by Drip the Mic. And we have a wonderful, crazy show for you all tonight. But first, I want to introduce my marvelous, lovely co-host, Melissa MC. What's up?
Oh, my God. How y'all doing this evening? I am wonderful. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Yes, been resting all day.
I have not talked to you since last week. I thought I'd put that out there. Yes, y'all. Yes. But I'm great. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm excited tonight because this is different for me. It's like a little fear, a little excitement, a little, oh, my God, because, you know, but first, before we get into anything else, we had a guest who was supposed to be on here tonight. His name is Brad, and he has I Am Hope as a program, as well as a car show, and we had asked him so much in the community. And it's time for us to do some outreach, though, just as well as we do the Austin Spotlight. It's just time.
Yeah,
but, you know, he got a car show that, I mean, they are awesome. So, again, I want to send prayers. His son was bitten by a dog. Thank God he was okay, you know, but I just want to keep his child in prayer and keep him in prayer as well. And we can have him on at another time. But let's get back
always
to the business. What's the business, Ed?
Oh,
wait.
You ready? You ready?
I'm ready as I'm going to get tonight anyway. You handle that thing. Go ahead. If you handle that thing, I'm going to sit back and chill. So my girl, come on.
Okay. Let me see. Who we want first? Nah, I know. I'm going to introduce this guy. I was looking, checking out his book covers, yo, and I just been rolling. His name is Arthur. No, I ain't even going to say his name. He was raised in Baltimore City. He is a published author with several books under his belt. He will take your mind to a place and send a vibrant message. He's done fiction as well as self-help books. Introducing to the mic, Mr. Donald R. McKinney.
Keep it up, y'all.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
What's up?
Yes.
Hello?
What's
can you hear me?
Big Don? Yeah, we can
hello
hear you, Big Don.
Okay, good. This is a little, you know, new to me. I'm not really, as what they say, computer savvy. Usually I just use a computer for ordering stuff, ordering food, ordering clothes. Yeah. Y'all have to excuse my ignorance, but I'm going to do the best I can.
It's okay.
We got you. Yeah, we got you. Yes.
Okay.
So, Mr. McKinney, go ahead and give us a little background on who you are and what you do. We know you
sure
write.
Sure.
Yeah.
I write. I work for the Public Defender's Office here in the great state of Maryland. As you may hear, business is always booming. I think we have more people in jail than we have out of jail. But, hey, what are you going to do, right? I've kind of always had a vivid imagination, and, you know, a lot of times when you talk to people about ideas, they want to see you follow through. So one day I sat down and decided to start putting some of those ideas on paper. And the one thing that people don't tell you about writing is it is hard, because if you have five people in that book, all five of those people have got to be described. You got to know what they're wearing, how tall they are, fat, are they skinny. So it can tend to be pretty tedious. But I think when you are compelled to write something that's been in your head or your heart, it comes to you. So that's kind of what I've been doing.
So what did you find your inspiration from? To start writing and to express your emotions and feelings and putting it all into a book?
You know what? That's a very good question. I was a big television person growing up. And one reason I was a big television person, because my mother used it to keep me quiet. She said if I was in front of the TV, I wasn't blowing anything up or setting anything on fire. I watched a lot of TV. And not only did I watch a lot of TV, but I watched various things. I watched cowboy pictures. I watched dancing pictures, all sorts of things. So when I started to write, I was able to tap into that vastness of some of the different things that I've been exposed to. And it's very interesting when you write, because sometimes your mind is going faster than your pen can move. And then when you read what you wrote, you almost look at it as though someone else has written it. But it actually comes out of your head. So that's what inspired me to write.
That's my brother. That's my brother. I'm sorry, y'all. I had to get that out of my system. I'm sorry. Did I really just do that?
I'm gonna get this straight, Ms. McKinney. I see why you had to be quiet, because you had Melissa with you. So.
I tell you. There's not enough time to tell you all of the stories of Melissa and I, but I will say this. If she ever writes a book, it will probably fill a library by itself. So yeah.
The one good thing about having her as a sister,
if you gotta have somebody on your side, she's the person to have. I'm appreciative of having her as a sister and stuff like that. That's probably why I've been not shocked since I've been living in Baltimore, because she probably told most people, like, yeah, you're going to have to deal with this situation if that happens. So
it's going to have to be handled.
I tell you.
I have a question. For Mr. McKinney.
Sure.
You know what? When I started reading, you know what's so crazy? People still go through this syndrome, and I'm no different. I need to put it out here. It's because they think because your family has written something or doing something that they should get a free copy. So I am one of those people, but I did get a book that he signed himself for my mom, and she passed in 2018, and it was God Bless America. And that was, when I sat at her house and read it, that was like totally out, it was out the box for my brother, as far as I was concerned, you know. So, I mean, Donald, you wrote God Bless America. What gave you that idea to make you put it on paper?
I've always liked political thrillers. I've always liked spy stuff like most guys. I grew up watching James Bond and License to Kill, Fancy Car, the whole nine yards. But over the years, and this was, I'm proud to say, several years before we had our first black president, Mr. Obama, I decided to pin a black president and introduce him and put him in a situation that some of the things that we have going on now. And essentially, he was a first black president, or a black president, I don't want to say first, but a black president, and he decided to invade the Middle East, and it just goes to tell you, things that his family dealt with, the people in his cabinet, and some of the other countries, how they felt about him deciding to invade the Middle East. And I wanted to be a fast-paced action thriller, something that you can read a little bit of and then go back to the next day if you wanted to. And I also made a point of making my books family friendly, so you can read them with your children, or if you want to do an assignment in school, it's, you know, I made it family friendly.
Well, let me tell you this, and I'm going to put it out here, that how you can get the best old sex ever is not family friendly, but we was very interested.
Now that, honestly, you know, I'm a big believer that a closed mouth doesn't get fed. I know most people, if you're over the age of 20-something, you probably heard that. So I kind of wanted to shock the reader into saying, what is that all about? But essentially, it's several stories of couples, and there's a psychiatrist who uses the value of oral sex and the interest of oral sex to get these couples to kind of dove into their relationships and some of the background.
See, that's what I wanted to talk about, this book.
You
right
know what?
Here.
I know, because you're nasty. That was why that was the first book you wanted to talk about. I know it.
Yes, she switches over.
I'm
going
to let you have the floor. You had the floor.
Thinking,
right, you had the floor. You go in with yourself.
But see, that's good.
She wanted to talk God
that's,
Bless
that's,
America, but I thought that was God Blessing America. How can you?
And see, and once you read it, and you read the different stories, I guarantee you many people will be able to identify with some of those couples in their storylines. I mean, people who read it, they came to me and they said, you know, I had a relationship either prior or you know, present, and it involved some of those details and stuff like that. So it's just really a good read. That one is kind of an adult book. I mean, I didn't...
But I got a question for you, Ms. McKinney.
Yes, sir.
Like sex back then, you know, when we was growing up, you know, formally sex, it wasn't really going about. You know, you had to actually give them little hand signals of what you wanted.
that is correct. In some cases, you had to draw it on the wall.
You know what? I can't with y'all too. I'm gonna give y'all your own show, and you and him can talk about all. Y'all is nasty on
you. You know what I mean. You had to do like you blew baseball signals. You know, like.
Oh yeah. I understand.
Now it's like it's freely, you know, it's out.
Yeah.
Sex is so open now. So in your book, do you bring the little new with the old in there?
Well, actually, it was written for a present generation, so it's definitely not, because like I said, the individual who's kind of doing the study is a psychologist. So I guess you would say, familiar with sex and stuff like that. So the people are coming to him, and he's just using sex as a foundation. But the people don't even realize it until kind of afterwards, and they say, oh, okay, this is what his intention was. So it really doesn't tell you. Yeah, it doesn't examine all sex. I probably should have given it another name, like open mouth or jumping in the river or something like that. But, you know, you want to stimulate interest, and I mean, I tell you, nothing stimulates interest like sex. I mean, you could be talking around deaf people, and when they see you mumble the word sex, they like, well, did he say something that sex?
No, we are not. I knew I saw the book cover. When he sent me the information, I was like, oh, my God, him and his going to spend like 45 minutes on this. So I'm going to get all the family-related stuff out there. Go ahead, Hez. What were you going to say?
You know, Mr. McKinney, that was funny because, like, me writing my first three books, everybody was like, yeah, we like your books, but you ain't telling them about you. On the other hand,
that
I was like,
part.
What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, y'all want it, I'm going to give it to you. Now, when I wrote it, I was kind of, you know, scared because I didn't know what the audience would think or my family. They would be like, uh-oh, here he comes. But there was a part of me that was like, okay, this is the other side of it. Here are all the freaky tales. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
this
it was
freak
a, it was
is
a,
the nickname.
It was a relief.
Yeah. I imagine it was to be able to, it take a lot of heart, though, to, I mean, I commend both of y'all. It take a lot of heart to put something like that out there, because then anybody who see you, the first thing going to pop into their mind is what you wrote. And, it is, especially a woman, if they recognize your face, it's like, I know this man.
But what they're not understanding, you know what they're not understanding, like, Mr. McKinney, you did yours in an art form. It's not just raw, unadulterated.
It's not
raw.
You put
a heart into it.
That is exactly. See, and once people start to read the stories, they'll be like, okay, now I see where this is going. And I still made it interesting enough without, like you said, I didn't want it to be, you know, just, you know, what one would imagine. But the interesting thing is I got a lot of feedback, which was my intention, you know.
You gave
a
little bit of dollar going, too. Because your sister still ain't ran no Donald Goins book yet.
You know what? I'm glad you in Atlanta. I'm glad you where you are. I'm glad I'm in North Carolina. Because if I could walk to you, that's all I'm going to say. This is the author's lounge. Only in the author's lounge could his be that rude. But anyway, you know what? I love this show because I like I said, I'm excited tonight because my brother doesn't realize how much of a major role he played in my life to keep me plugging at this. Because this was not on the agenda. I did not call his and say, hey, Zaz, guess what? We're going to do a podcast.
No.
I was home minding my business. But like I said, when he reached out to me, it felt right. And it felt comfortable because my brother has already paved the way for me. There's no way I can get a book to fall on his face unless I just wanted to at this point. Because the McKinney name is already there. He paved the road for me. So
mm-hmm. And
it's like
he
that thing
actually,
is, if he can do it, I can do it kind of thing.
But,
you know.
But you know the interesting thing, Paul, Miss Melissa. I remember
mm-hmm.
sitting in your house and I was writing my first book,
mm-hmm.
and you was like,
mm-hmm.
"Your brother did it. Look at all he wrote."
Mm-hmm.
That was
yep.
the inspiration for me to go
yes.
ahead and publish my book.
That book
Ain't that
traveled from Maryland. Yep, that book traveled from Maryland with my mother. She left a lot of things behind, but she did not leave that book. And when wow, you remember everything. That's how I know I'm old. Wow. Yeah, but I mean, like I said, it's awesome. I'm appreciative. I'm grateful to you, Mr. McKinney, because I probably never would have taken a chance on my. I don't have that radio. Hello, welcome, good evening, voice. You know, I sound like I smoked a carton of Newports before I started talking. But the thing is, when you get in, you fit in, and I feel like this is my niche. You know,
mm-hmm.
I feel like this is my niche. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you do great.
Fly like a bird, but. In my midnight voice. Okay.
But you know, Melissa, she, yes, sir.
So what do you have planned for the near future? Are you going to continue dropping new books, or what do you have planned?
Well, what I did, because once I started writing, I was started searching for publishing houses and different outlets. And so
yeah.
what I decided to do was write several books ahead. That way,
ooh,
if someone is interested, I have a number of books ready to go down the pike. And
wow.
I have one book called Real Men, which is one of my favorites. It's about two gentlemen who go out west, and they become basically landowners, and they marry, and they both of them, their wives perish, and then they have to forge forward. And one of the guys, he is raising his friend's son, who happens to be Caucasian, and he's black, so it offers
okay.
an interesting twist
wow.
on that dynamic. And once again, with this particular book, I went out of my way, not went out of my way, but it's family friendly, because I'm a big believer
right.
that good guys should win. I mean, it's nothing wrong with the bad guy winning sometimes, because that's a part of life.
Right.
But if
yes.
you can write
right.
what you want, I like the good guy getting on his horse and riding off into the sunset and the town people waving to him. That's the kind of stuff I you know? I mean, because it's no fun if the bad guy wins. You know what he's going to do? He's going to shoot everybody
right.
in town and take what he wants. And,
you got that
you know,
right.
He's going to be beating up old ladies and patting them down for their social security. So the good guy wins. He don't do that. The good guy, he thanks everybody. And, you know, and then the townspeople walk out and they say, well, how can we thank him? He said, you don't have to. And he rides off, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Y'all, this has been an awesome show. Oh, my God. This is, it's, wow. And see, I didn't even know my brother had anything else in the world, let alone in this place. See, this is how you learn
yeah,
about your
you know
family.
What?
Invite
yeah.
them on your show.
There's several things. If you want to find some of my work, is on Amazon. You can go there, and
mm-hmm.
if you're not sure if you might be interested, you know, I think they let you read a little bit of the book before you know.
Yeah,
before
yeah.
you
yeah.
the price.
They do.
So, you
get the
you know,
sample.
You can take a look
yeah.
at the book.
Yeah,
and
the little sample
like
they
like
give
yourself,
you.
I've written some risque time. Stuff. I wrote one relatable book to myself. I didn't want to put too much of myself in it. And it's called The Boy Can't Help It. And essentially it's about a guy who's successful.
Uh-oh.
But he has a number of women in his life. And, you know, someone who knows me and reads that, they're going to be like, he's talking about me. Yeah, there'll be a few women. But I didn't name any names, and I didn't put any, you know, details, just enough to stimulate, you know.
This is my last show. The curses in this book has been protected to protect the innocent. I'm not. But remember, it used to come on Dragnet. The characters in this movie names have been changed to protect the innocent.
That's right. I still watch Dragnet. Joe Friday and his partner. I tell you what, no matter what's happening, in 30 minutes they figure it out. I don't care if a bomb's going off or some chickens are running around lost. Before, when 30 minutes is over, they get those chickens back to the farmer. And I mean, it's incredible.
Hey, you take us on into break, because after that,
that's great.
Yes.
So I have a question for you, Mr. McKinney.
Sure.
Now, with all this, tell the people out there, how hard is it to really get a big publishing deal where, you know, the big publishing houses pay you?
You know what? Interestingly enough, I contacted a publishing house and I sent them some of my work. And one thing that I got back was feedback. And this particular, I guess she would, you know, she worked out. I don't really know what her actual job was. But she read my stuff and said, hey, I like it. It's good. She said it's not what we use, but she told me something very important, which was don't give up. And I think that's the important thing. If you have a book, you believe in it, keep on searching. There is someone out there who will want what you have. And they will be as excited as you will. And, you know, that's what it is. And continue to write. Sometimes I even read other authors' books, you know, established authors, so I can get some ideas of how I want to format and do different things.
That is exactly what I do. And people don't understand. You have to study other authors to get your craft down to perfection on how you want your book to flow.
Yeah, and if you can find yourself a good editor. I had an editor who stayed more drunk than she did sober, and let me say this. Some people say they're a thing, and some people isn't a thing. She said she was an editor, but what I found out is she was mostly a drinker who liked editing. And she didn't do a horrible job, but, you know, sometimes she wrote stuff that I didn't write, which I thought was interesting, especially since, from what I could tell, she could see, but clearly she saw it differently. And you know you're in trouble when you're talking to the person that's supposed to edit your book and she calls you someone else. You're like, but you know what? She did help me, and at the time, I was working, you know, on a skeleton budget, and you do your best. You do your best, and if you get yourself a good publishing house, they'll fix all of that anyway. That's what they do. They got thousands of people who are geniuses. They can spell cat and dog and chicken, and they'll help you with all of that. But the thing is to take that first step. And that's what I did. I used to drive my coworkers crazy. I used to ask them how to spell stuff. And, you know, I wrote a lot of my book while I was working. Thank God for state employment. But I wrote a great deal of my book while I was working. So, but, yes, sir, just like you said, continue to hone your craft and, you know, keep doing it. And that's the thing. Don't give up.
You know, I do want to, it's so funny because, you know what, my older sister is listening in. And it's I'm telling you, this is probably the most we've learned about each other in a long time. you know. I'm serious. We get together, we family, we live in different states or whatever, but we try to get together. But it takes something like this to bring you together.
Yeah. Well, I want to say I wish, you know, Melissa was always smart.
She's going to kill me.
No, she was
hilarious. She said, I am going to kill you.
Melissa was always smart. And so, you know how it is when you're a guy in the family, you think nobody's paying attention. I will say, and I have never said this to her, I wish I was a better example. I mean, I was probably not a good example for Melissa because she probably said, well, I'm doing all this work to be smart, and he seems to drink, party, run around, and everybody's still hugging and kissing him at the end of the evening. But I always admire her because she was – she's always been a smart, you know, smart person.
Yeah.
So, I've always admired that about Melissa. She still is. She picks up things quickly, and, you know, it's nice to, you know, have that, you know.
Oh, yeah, so. Definitely. And it's amazing, too, because, you know, writing books, you don't have to be who you are. You can take a break from your personality and be somebody else for a chapter or two, you know?
Yep. Living vicariously through whoever your character is at that book, at that moment in your life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
It is. I find I write poetry more, and I haven't shared it with anybody, but I feel like I've been writing more poetry lately. And it's because things are changing in my life that I didn't bank on changing. You know, I don't know what it is. You think things are supposed to stay the same forever. For me, I like things to stay in format. When it changes, it throws me off. But that's how I've been writing. I've been writing throwed off. I have been writing throwed off, and it's taking me to go back and look at it.
That's okay to be throwed off. That's what I try to tell everyone. It's okay to be throwed off.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Yeah, it pretty much.
Because that throwed off part might be a part for another book you write. Believe me, I know.
That is true.
I'm telling you, I've been throwed off, but it's like like you said, right now I'm into the podcast. I'm enjoying the office lounge. I'm enjoying working with Hayes. I'm just in my element right now. So how they say, if it ain't broke, then don't try to fix it. I have plenty of time to do whatever it is. I'm serious. I have plenty of time to do whatever it is that I want to do. I mean, you know how it is. The sky's the limit. The sky is the limit. It doesn't have an age limit on how long it should take me or how old I should be. Because my brother's old. He old as dirt. Look what he's done.
Oh,
you
he's
know?
Not old as dirt. That's the new
I just
deal.
Said I put
new
that
deal.
I've been the same age for 20 years, and I'm proud of that age. When they ask people for their ID, I be getting mine out. They shove me like, go ahead, sir. You don't need no ID. I be like, I want y'all to look at my ID just like you don't get anybody else's ID.
And the lies.
They still ask me for mine.
Really? They don't ask me for mine as much as I used to, but I make sure I get it out anyway. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Both of y'all. No, they don't want. Ain't nobody asking y'all for nothing but the time off your raggedy pockets.
Hey, Melissa, they love the youngins.
That's because they know y'all already old. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah. This is just wonderful. You're already old. Both y'all old. You're old. And
the good thing about getting older, you're wiser. And
definitely.
And you move. Tend to, you know, since I've gotten older, I tend to have more money. Now I can buy a bag with Tay chips and a soda. And that's a wonderful thing. Because I tell you the truth, I don't know why people are always excited about kids. They generally don't have any money. And I don't know any of them that know how to pay a bill.
Right, exactly. That's why I don't get animals.
Oh,
that's why I don't get animals.
I just got a cat, okay? I love Pimpin'. My cat is a cat named Pimpin'. And I didn't know what to do. No, mine lay around like I do.
When you get tired of them, you can just throw them right out. You ain't got to sign no papers. You ain't got to go to court.
You know what?
You don't have to show up at court or nothing. You get tired of the cat. He can't,
only
he
from
can't
the public defender's office would you hear this. You know what?
He can't even tell anybody who put him out. They say, who put you out here, meow? They be like, we don't know any meow. Sorry. You on your own. Yeah, we don't know any meow. Yeah.
You're right.
I'm
going to tell you this funny story. I had this cat, right? And it had chlamydia in his eyes. So this chick come and drop the cat off at my house. I'm like, oh, it's the little kitty. So I said, oh, I'll keep the kitty. So I took it to the vet, paid $300 for it to open its eyes. That thing terrorized my house when his eyes opened.
For
the past. For
$300, I'd have bought him a patch and dressed him like a pirate. I would have been like...
I tell you, animals
are expensive to keep. Now I be hearing about animals getting hip surgery and I said,
who does that?
Jeez, weird. They won't even they can't.
Wait, hold on one damn minute. I'm sorry. This is the CEO of the network. I just can't let that shit pass. Did you say the cat had chlamydia in his eyes?
You know what? No, you're not going to help them. I'm like,
No. Stop, Melissa and Donald. I'm going to need y'all to stop. Y'all just going to let that shit pass that way. Y'all not going to question that or nothing. Y'all just going to keep on rolling with the conversation.
Hey.
I mean, I just want to know before I'm going to go back to my corner. But before I do, I just need to know that y'all just going to let that shit just ride like that. Y'all not going to question this cat having chlamydia. The cat not even, see, I'm speaking up because the cat not even here to defend itself. That was some bullshit if I ever heard it. And y'all was just going to let that shit slide. Y'all was just going to let the conversation just go on where the fuck it was going. That's bullshit. Grip the mic will not allow that on this network.
God.
The FCC Airways will not allow that shit.
I love it. Y'all are psycho.
I have to pay the fine to the FCC when this shit come down the pipeline. I'm the one that got to pay them people. So I got questions.
This
motherfucker said the cat had chlamydia in his eye, and y'all just roll with the conversation.
That's what y'all told me to do. I was taught.
Donald, as the guest, as the feature, I'm gonna need an explanation from you, my brother. How was you just gonna let that shit slide like that?
When after all of the years I've worked for the public defender's office, I have seen it all. I've seen cats with chlamydia, WBD, chickens sewing their own.
Okay,
like,
see, that's more
believe.
Bullshit I'm not going to let pass. Ain't no cat came in your damn courtroom.
No, they have what they call emotional animals. Now, one time, I'm telling you. Now, you know who started that emotional animal stuff because one of those brothers bring their drugs in court. Okay, but you know who wanted to bring their animals to court, and they gave them a fancy name, emotional animal. And so, yeah, you'd be surprised who comes to court. Cats, ducks.
Listen, I'm not finna listen. Y'all about to have everybody after Drift the Mic Network. Y'all about to have the animal rights people after us. Y'all about to listen. They looking. They look. Hezzy, you finna have an animal rights warrant out for your arrest because they won't want to know about this cat with the chlamydia.
Oh man, that was the craziest thing. So you gotta listen. So we took it to the vet, right? It was a $300 bill. That cat opened his eyes and he was hell on wheels. He could see clearly now.
What in the world? You know what? Only on the office lounge
Ain't no penicillin. Ain't no pet penicillin cost no $300.
And y'all are still talking about this.
The cat wasn't on Medicaid or nothing. You couldn't take like you couldn't take it to like the city clinic and just got the shot and kept it rolling. I'm done. Listen, I'm going back. I'm going back into producing and engineering the show. You know what? I have no clue.
Don't give no ideas they will be doing it.
Listen, what? I didn't know. I have no clue how long it takes, but I had no clue that animals get venereal diseases either. So it's a whole bunch of shit that's new to me.
Welcome to the Author Grounds. This is a place to get education as well as informative information. Like cats do get chlamydia in their eyes.
That's
funny.
Yes. Yeah. We do authors, we do musicians, we do...
We will share this fine.
Your cat with chlamydia. Guess what we're featuring cats with chlamydia tonight, along with Ms.
Listen.
When I repost this show, when I repost the show tonight on Facebook, or whenever Blog Talk finish making it available to post, the title of the show that I will be posting on Facebook, just so y'all know, will be the conversation about the cat with chlamydia.
Hey,
I'm going like, back to my corner.
Hold on, CEO.
Okay.
I got something for you.
I'm listening. All right.
Chlamydia, conjunctivitis in cats. Feline chlamydia, conjunctivitis is an infection caused by a bacterial organism. The most common signs of the chlamydia in cats involve the eyes.
I'm done.
I know you just gave me the dictionary meaning, but the cat was a thot. You're trying to tell me that the cat was a thot, a thot cat.
The cat was a thot cat.
You trying to tell me?
The cat was a thot.
Condoms are important for everyone to use. That's a good title right there.
Oh, man.
All right. Listen, I'm going to go back to my corner because I just want to see where this shit goes from here. I'm going to kick back and I'm just going to see where this shit goes from here because this is amazing.
We got a poet coming.
You know, I love the poet.
She's going to bring it. I've been following this woman. I know she probably think I'm a troll, but I'm not because I just found out what trolling is about 2 weeks ago. But anyway, I know she probably thinks I'm one of them because I'm fascinated with this woman. I love her spirit. I love her. Oh, man. Y'all are in for a treat with her, too. This is the Office Lounge only on Tuesdays when this kind of stuff happens.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, I'm going ahead and finish that y'all talking about the cat with chlamydia first. And I'm going ahead and go back to my corner. So my wife just walked in the room, and she heard the end of that, and she heard the look that's on her face. I should have took a picture because the look that's on her face just said everything that I'm fucking wondering right now. I don't know how to catch that chlamydia. I think it was a thot cat, baby. I think it was a thot cat.
If it was a thot cat, it was a thot cat. Okay.
And you know what? And here's the cool thing about it. Now you could probably guess this, but out of all the people that's in this conversation, is what 1, 2, 3, 4 of us. You know who the fuck it was that had the thot cat. You already know who it was. That was that. Yeah, of course.
Listen to her.
Of course.
Listen to her. She's making laughing because she already knows it was his. That's sad.
I'm at a possibility.
Y'all going back to y'all show because this is, y'all going back.
Can we go back from what we have come?
Oh, yes. Let's go to book. Mr. McKinney, do you have any of your books like that so you can read a passage to the audience?
You know, I'm actually talking on my phone. and stuff like that. So I don't have anything ready to read. And Melissa didn't tell me I should have anything ready to read.
No, you should have. You didn't have to because I didn't have to.
See, that's how that kid got committed. He blaming everybody else instead of you.
You know what? I'm dead. See? We back to these poor cats.
This has been a great show tonight, boy. I'm telling you.
Like, meow. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
This has been a great show tonight. Mr. McKinney, I want you to give your websites out, how they can follow you, and where they can get your books.
Please.
Well, you can find a lot of the books that I've written already. There's some at Barnes & Noble, and Amazon would probably be the best place to find them. I try to put them out there just to kind of give people an introduction, and if they were interested, they can purchase. I'm absolutely sure they'll be entertained. Like I said, some stuff is traditional, some non-traditional. Like I said, very interesting reads, like you said earlier. I wrote a couple of self-help books, and I didn't make them long. Some people said, well, why aren't they long? Do you need 400 pages to tell you how to live your life? Really? I mean,
it's like the cat. You even going to get some video, you know?
Exactly. I mean, if you need 400 pages, then just live with the chlamydia in your eye and stop complaining, you know? So, like I said before, you could go to Amazon and put in my name, Donald, D-O-N-A-L-D, middle initial R, and last name, M-C, K-E-N-N-E-Y, and you'll be able to find a lot of my material. And I can promise that, you know, you'll find something that I've written. Like I said, I've covered a vastness of different, you know, people who may be interested. And once again, they aren't complicated. It's just something to take you, like you said, on a journey and give you a different insight and, you know, some motivation to treat each other nice and do some nice things.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Thank you so much again. Thank you. Thank you again, Mr. McKinney.
I had a wonderful time, and I appreciate you guys bringing me on. I actually have another podcast because of you. A friend of mine heard that you guys were going to have me on, and they were having me on another podcast. So,
that's what I'm talking about.
You guys, because of that. Someone else is going to have me in Atlanta, so I appreciate you guys, you know, putting your energy and your spirit out there, and it's wonderful. Yeah,
thank you so much for coming on the Office Lounge.
Anytime you'd like me to come back, please feel free to call me. I would love to come back at some time, you know, if things change, you know, and improve. I'll let you keep you guys abreast, and once again, thank you for having me on.
No problem.
Thank you. I love you, Donald. Thank you for supporting me.
I love you
thank
too,
you for Melinda. Coming on the Office Lounge.
Thank you.
We're going to take a small break. I want to thank you for listening to the Office Lounge presented by Drip the Mic. Call in at 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak. And we'll be right back with our next guest. All right. Welcome back to the Author's Lounge. And I am your host, Author Hezzy, with my co-host, the marvelous Miss Melissa MC. And you can call in 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak to the guest. And I'm going to let my co-host introduce the next guest.
You know, like I said, I'm on Facebook, different sites, and I don't know why I fell in love with Gina. I did. I promise you. It was so strange, but I felt the energy. I felt all of it. I like the dark side. I mean, you don't have a lot of people that can handle working the dark side, and this lady can. She's originally from Flint, Michigan. She moved to Franklin, Tennessee in 1989. She inherited a creative streak from her ancestors on both sides of her family, talented in different genres. Some of her interests have included both drawings, painting, as well as poetry. She has dabbled in music. I can't wait to see. She is able to study oil painting in New York and to maintain literature, as well as Art O'More College Design and Columbia State College. Also, her favorite medium is acrylic on canvas. Her book also includes watercolor, oils, and chalk. I can draw a straight line. Oh, my God. And just in the painting of expressions of her hair, her feelings, and that's what got me. It was her poetry, you know, the depth of emotions of it. And you know, everybody can't write, but she herself has said some well-known poets have influenced her style, Edgar Allan Poe, Chaucer, as well as Shakespeare. Her poetry is thought-provoking and soul-searching. And with that, I give you Miss Gina, hello. You in, Gina? Hey.
I'm here.
Gina, you in?
Yes, can you hear me?
There she go. I knew I'd find her.
You can hear me now?
I can hear you. Good evening, hon. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am good, Miss Gina. Thank you so much. I was so afraid when I asked you to come on. I was like, this lady ain't going to answer me because she's going to think I'm crazy and I'm trolling her.
No, I'm excited. I'm honored and grateful. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you. Hez, I'm going to let you.
Miss Gina, what's up?
Ah, nice to meet you, Mr. Hezzy.
Thank you. Got me blessing over here. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I'm Gina Carrillo, or Carrillo in English, if you can't say that. I go by Black Widow. That's my spoken word name. I started writing when I was about 14, 15 years old, started with a diary, and then started writing poetry throughout the years. I kept my poetry quiet for about 22 years until last year I published my first collection of 83 poems in my collection called Kaleidoscope. That's on Amazon worldwide. And then for the last pretty much 2 years, I've been performing in Nashville and surrounding cities. And then I created a poetry collective crew. We're called the Prodigal Poets. We have 20 people now, and we all perform together.
Wow. So tell me, Gina, what was your inspiration growing up to want to become an artist or author and or doing poetry and expressing yourself? Where did you find that motivation from?
So poetry is very therapeutic and stress relieving for me. These poems kind of just came to me, and I had to get them out. I consider myself a dark artist. Yes, a lot of my poetry is dark, but I'm such a happy and optimistic person. But I feel like that is because I bring all out the dark side out into my poetry. And I let it out. It's kind of a way of bleeding and helping me get through the things I have been through in life. Most of my poetry consists of getting through death, beating cancer and surviving domestic violence.
Wow.
Yeah, I told you, I started trolling this woman. And I was like, God, I hope she don't think I'm crazy. But once she just draws you in. I am not that person that gets on Facebook and start looking, oh, I'm going to think I'm going to read, follow this person today. It wasn't like that at all. It was one form. And it drew me in. And that's all it took. And I sent her a friend request, and I've been following her ever since. And then that's when I got the courage to ask her to come on here. And I'm glad she did. But, Ms. Oh, Lisa,
thank
you have something to read for us? Do you have something for us?
Yes.
A little nugget?
Yes. Any particular one you want to hear?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, I'll do my signature piece. Is the one about domestic violence. It's called There Are Still Holes in the Walls.
Ooh.
And if you want to see it performed with music, it is on my social media pages. The Pretty Provocative Poet actually created music to go with this piece.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, it's called There Are Still Holes in the Walls. There are still holes in the walls, one above my bed from where you threw something at my head. There was one in the door that you punched so hard the frame cracked all the way down to the floor. It's still not like before. It will never be the same, all because you got caught in a lie. You wanted me to die. I would stay quiet and just pacify. I would crawl into a ball and make myself small. You tried to drown me. I still have bruises from it all. And the words you spewed sounded like they came straight from Satan. I do not fear the devil because I already dated him. You used to ball up your fists and yell and spit. Poison seeped through my skin. Acid permeated within my body. The pain pervaded and I was intensely hurting within. Years passed by, and your tormenting grew worse. I forgave, and I tried again, and I wanted to see the best in you. How do you go on without trust? I felt like I was stuck in the mud with Stockholm Syndrome, trauma bonded to you. When I opened my mouth, I couldn't shout. I dreamt of getting out. This is a poem that hurts to write it. I could barely get through it, and abuse is not a strong enough word to describe it. But I'm finally able to see through my tears. I conquered all my fears. You tried to clip my wings and put shackles on my feet. And I looked out the window and I hoped to flying again. But I starved for your red flags like they were a bouquet of bloody roses. Now my PTSD haunts me like a past life. I survived. There's still ashes floating around from where you tried to burn me. But like a phoenix, I rise. These scars and cracks are now filled with gold. I'm stronger now, and this is my story to be told. When I tried to eat, you would knock food out of my hand. But yet you were like a creature attracted to my light, like a parasite. You tried to suck out my flame to fill your hollow emptiness you had inside. And it seems like you kept coming for me, just reincarnated yourself to look differently. I finally decided I had enough. This cycle finally has ended. I came out on the other side. I'm getting used to lower tides. You could not rob me of my sparkling existence. It still shines brightly, although there are still nightmares of you that terrorize me nightly. When I wake up, I remember I'm happy and free. Wings spread wide. I now stand tall. I got through it all. But I left that one hole in my wall to remember to never let my heart fall like that again.
Wow. Damn. I mean, I didn't know what else to say after that book. I didn't mean to cuss, but it came out because I'm like, wow. And you know what? I can thank you because in the dark places that I've been in my life, I have yet to have the courage to write. I have yet to have the courage to write, but I thank you. Because you made it so evidently clear.
I understand that. It took me hundreds of times.
And you know, the magic behind that is like, you know, domestic violence has been going on for a long time. It's been passed down from generation to generation. And now, even though we're in 2022, it's still alive and well.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Right.
it, you know, unfortunately, I looked at the news today here on the 6 o'clock news, that a 19-year-old child, because that's what I can refer to her as, is hiding in the bathroom because her boyfriend decides to come and shoot up a house. They charged him with 5 counts of attempt murder. There was a 2-year-old in there. It needs a voice. Domestic violence needs a voice for the ones who can't speak.
Yes,
and
definitely.
I actually put
myself in therapy 3.5 years ago with Bridges of Williamson County in Franklin, Tennessee, and they helped me stop the cycle of unhealthy, toxic relationships. So, therapy's been very helpful for me.
It needs a voice, and I'm glad to have you.
Along with your artwork and your poems, I know that takes you to another mindset, another way of thinking. Did you ever think that you would be able to express yourself, what you were going through, and, you know, all that you was going through, and put that in your artwork, in your poems, and then calling yourself the Black Widow?
That's deep.
It's really been,
because
dream,
that's living
been a dream come true. I'm living inside my dreams right now. I'm so happy.
I'm glad for you. If nobody else has deserved it, you definitely.
So I have a question. Coming up, how did your peers and your family react to you doing your artwork and you actually doing poetry and becoming your own person, not relying on that other person? Because you know how in relationships, sometimes we get codependent.
Yeah.
Definitely. I used to be very clingy, codependent, and I went to Codependent Anonymous as well as Al-Anon and domestic violence therapy, and I worked really hard to get out of my unhealthy cycles, work on self-love and self-care, my insecurities and my boundaries. My family and friends have been really supportive, and they've seen how much I've grown and been able to accomplish not being in a, like, abusive relationship.
Right. Yeah. That's true. Keep undermining the fact that because I don't put my hands on you don't mean that you're not in an abusive relationship. You know, that's that other missing link. That's that missing link because, like I said, women are still hiding. It's happening as we're speaking. They're still hiding because they're like, he didn't hit me. He just cussed at me.
You know what, though? It's not even women either. It's today men are getting domestic abuse, too, because have you been noticing the Johnny Depp trial that's been going on TV?
Right.
And
yeah.
It's even more harder for a man to say that a woman is abusing him because it hits our pride and it hurts. And for us, it's more mentally than it is physical for us. You know, waking up every morning, having a woman tell you you're not good enough, you're not this, you're not that, you need to be more like him, that drains a man. When we are built from birth to be the provider and the protector, and the roles are switched.
Right.
Yeah. It happens. And like you said, you know, I bet this Men Cry in the Dark. That was probably one of the first books that I got to tap into, men being abused, whether it was by other men or their mothers or whatever. You know, it's like that's another facet that doesn't get talked about or, you know.
I had an uncle who used to always tell me, just walk away, son, just walk. And I never understood what he was saying. You know, like, I'm not walking away from nothing. I'm going to let this but walk away.
Mm-hmm.
It was that simple. Just walk away. So back to Miss Gina, your artwork.
Yes.
You went. Name the colleges that you went to do all your artwork.
Yes. So I started getting into art at a young age as well. Took classes in high school at Columbia State. And at Wilmore College of Art, I went to New York. I studied with T.E. Breitenbach, this famous oil painter. And then I started painting at Wine and Design in Franklin. So I taught is like a sip and stroke place, and I would teach painting. So I'd have classes in Franklin and Spring Hill at two different studios, and I was like Bob Ross, but more exciting.
Okay, you know what? I want you to take us on a ride right now. We're in Franklin, Tennessee. What are we seeing?
Oh, in Franklin, Tennessee, it's like you're inside of a Hallmark movie. It's a cute little town with a square, with a statue, and then at Christmas, it's a huge Christmas tree and the lights all around. And then there's a fiddler on the corner fiddling. There's people skipping through the street. It's like a little Mr. Rogers neighborhood.
I see. I like for you to paint a picture because I like visiting these towns. You know what I'm saying? So yeah.
No,
yes,
but she said they were skipping through the courtyard. I was done. I'm like, oh no, she didn't paint a picture. She said, and they're skipping through the courtyard.
It is. Sometimes I'd be like, I'm really in a Hallmark movie. Like my neighbors are at the wind. Like my neighbors got married in my backyard. They met on during COVID and had a wedding in my backyard. And I was like, I'm really living in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. My neighbors, I can hear them out the window talking to each other.
That is amazing.
I'm the witchy widow on the street. Like, I come out of my house. I went over my neighbors. They had a cookout every weekend during COVID. I went over there, and I was dressed up as a vampire. I'm like, hi, hi to my new neighbors. I'm the witchy widow on the corner.
Yo, that was going to have you like the witch pad in Massachusetts.
Wait, she came with spider cookies. Well, hi, I'm here with spider cookies. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And how'd she get an invitation again?
That's for real. Man. Our new neighbors, I was dressed up as a vampire because I had a new Dracula piece I was performing.
I know when they see you come in at night, they probably like, what in the world is she doing?
I guess after they got finished drinking, it was like, well, let's go say hi to the witch.
check out the pictures on my profile. I was at the festival this weekend with the Middle Tennessee Authors Circle, and one of my fans wanted me to dress up or do it makeup. So I have it makeup, clown makeup on in the picture.
Yes.
It's hilarious.
Yes, yes.
I'm coming to Franklin, Tennessee
on
Halloween. I'm coming to Franklin, Tennessee.
You need
to
come. I'll be
it.
At Pumpkin Fest. We have a festival in the downtown square every holiday almost.
Wow, definitely. That is amazing.
We have camps every week.
Tell us a little bit what you got planned for the near future and what are you planning on doing? What do you dream of doing?
So right now I'm working on my second collection that's going to have my art and poetry. I've been doing anthologies, so I've been doing book events, June coming up. Besides performing weekly with my crew, I just want to go harder and get bigger stages, do these festivals.
That's right. That's
right.
Right.
Radio,
get big
TV.
Or go home.
Yes. Just keep it going. I'm doing everything. I kept my poetry silent for way too long, and I'm out now doing it all.
See, that's funny because my CEO, he's a poet too, so he loves poetry. So that's a good thing. If you need any little poetry things or little things you need to get it out, he is the guy for that.
Yeah, I can say that. He definitely would be your go-to. You know, I definitely wouldn't see you in any wrong direction because, like I said, I've been watching you for a while. I love your work. I definitely wouldn't see you in a wrong direction. And for it to be put out there, then I'm like, hey, this is it. This is it, honey.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
So you also got a book?
Yes, I do. I have a book called Kaleidoscope. It has 83 poems in it. and it's on Amazon worldwide. It's all, the links are in my bios. Instagram, it's Black Widow Poets, also Prodigal Poets. And then my Facebook, I have Black Widow Poetry and Prodigal Poets.
Okay, now let's see. I finally got a poet that has written a book. This is the right platform, Reed, because I want you to let the poets out there know how you went about doing your book and putting your poems in your book and getting it out there, because some poets are skeptical about writing a book or putting their poems in a book.
Yes, so I wanted to write a book for the longest time, and I did not think I had enough poems to put in a book, and then I grabbed all my poetry, put it together, and I saw that I had, like, over 100 some poems, and I picked out the best ones I thought I would want in a book, and then I talked to a couple different authors, and I decided to go, my first book, I decided to go with Kindle Direct Publishing through Amazon. I actually did a Microsoft Word document painting that I painted. So I just did the cover art. And you got to do your bio, but you could put a bio and a picture on the back, or you could do whatever you'd like on the back, but most people do the bio and the picture. You know, the foreword, table of contents. There's different things in it I want to do for my second book that I didn't do in my first book, but I'm proud of it. I mean, this is years of poetry that I had kept hidden from the world, and I'm very happy I got it out there. And with Amazon, it's relatively easy. So if anybody has any questions, just let me know.
You know, because the time when I was coming up, publishing a book, that was the hardest thing to do. They have made it. I mean, everybody jumps on Jeff Bezos because he's a multi-billionaire, but he came up with the smartest, simplest idea.
Yeah, he did.
You can't hate a man for coming up with the smartest, simplest way of getting stuff out there to people. From all platforms of life.
All platforms, whatever it is.
I cannot hate that man.
No.
Uh-uh. And people don't
really
know
don't
he started in his garage.
No, I'm very happy with it also because I got to control what it looked like, what's in it, and also I get to control the money, all of it. There's some people that work as publishers and they don't get any money back or a dollar per book back, and I make a pretty good profit with my book.
Yes, exactly.
That's it.
Yes.
That's the goal. I love it.
And
that.
I have a question.
I have been following you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You do cover book art?
Yes. My books are all my cover. I'm using my artwork for my
cover. Do you ever think about selling any of your artwork to put on people's book covers?
Yes, I definitely could do that.
Yeah, I'm let's throw in a little idea this way. I might need some cover art.
Got some collaborations doing. I like it.
I like stepping outside the box. So I'm just, you know, trying to read your mind a little bit because I'm thinking I might want to do something different with my next book cover.
Yes, and check out my artwork. Let me know what you like.
Okay, that's a bet. That is a
bet. I love when a plan. What was that movie when he kept saying that over and over again? Oh, the A-Team. That's who they were. Hannibal. That was his name. Look, I done took it back to the A-Team.
Yeah, because
I love it when a plan comes together.
It's like in this world, we all have so much talent and so many different ways of expressing ourselves. And for me, I don't just want to be situated in one spot and this spot and that spot. I like doing different things and bringing a different flavor to, and like, you know, just coming together with somebody that does art, and then you get to put that name in the book also, so everybody know her. It's a win-win.
It always is. You just have to be selective who you invite to win with.
Yeah, you got that.
That's why I followed her. Exactly. This is why I followed her first before I advanced, because you need to be aware of the energy and the people around you.
Definitely.
Don't get it, then run.
Believe me,
you,
I know.
We know. If you don't get the vibe, then take a fly. That's all I can say.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I only want positive positive vibes, happy vibes, right. Good vibes.
Yeah.
From
yeah,
the vampire,
that's what I got.
She wants Tata, she's going to bite you.
You're right.
No, I don't
want people to want to be there. Yeah. The little spider wants us to come and play. Well, I did, Gina, because I'm not scared of nothing. That's that girl power. I was not afraid. I was like, I am going to talk with this lady. She is my new hero. There's a no.
Oh, yes, that's great. Thank you. This has been amazing. Thank you for having me.
I want to hear another poem if you feel like sharing one.
Of course I do. Do you want to hear one about Frankenstein or a whiskey poem?
Oh, man. That's it. Oh, no. So you pick.
Frankenstein.
Yep.
Okay. So this piece is about Frankenstein and how I relate to him with what I went through when I beat stage 3 breast cancer.
Ooh.
Okay. Silent raindrops fell like tears outside the castle. I'm aching for you. Whisper away my anxieties. Imagine hearing you in my head. Darkness consumes, fire burning, foggy fumes. Thoughts of a better life cracking through my skin. Experiences, I want to have more. They're talking about me. Town people knocking at the door, not understanding. My needs aren't that demanding. Looking on to broader horizons, people try to kill what they do not know, also try to bring back alive something that had already died. Don't create me, make me feel so real, then turn your scared head. I'm undaunted, one that wanted to be brought back, haunted, not like this. Now they wonder about how I act. This isn't what I thought. Can't blame react. Your experiment was unsuccessfully simulated. Still some unconscious flesh not stimulated. This operation not quite like the illustration raised from the dead. There are crevices in my soul that can't be sealed with the kiss. Mended memories of my past remain. This new life is just great. What others experience is just not the same. Raised up with the tragic lightning, my appearance now very frightening. Who could love such creatures with bloody messy features just painfully stitched together? Is there someone out there like me finding them with all my fears, wishing with these Franken tears, just hoping and dreaming? Sometimes I'm concerned, will I ever really learn? I'm just a zombie walking, limping to the side, still talking about this strange new world inside, internally perturbed, unsettled, and just disturbed. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow.
Wow. You are truly talented.
I told you. I don't just troll anybody.
You're going to turn Franklin, Tennessee upside down, Miss Lady.
I'm trying.
Right. Pole vault will never be the same.
Oh, boy. One for Mayberry and the Vampires. But change, change is good. Change is great. And just realizing, how did your family take you? You know, expressing yourself, or was you always like that?
No, I wasn't. I mean, so I went. I kind of just got really gothic in my late 30s. I'm 38 now. So, yeah, so the past couple years, I slowly turned into super gothic. So, yeah, my family is very religious. So that's kind of funny.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Me too. Like, I'm just like, I think we the black sheep, for real, because we don't like rules and we don't like principles. And I don't really think that, you know, God wants us to be this person stuck under a religion rule. You know, he wants us to be spiritual and free.
Yeah, I'm fine with all it and the commandments. Just don't expect me to live by them every day. That's all I'm saying. That would be great.
I feel like I'm suddenly my true, authentic self. Besides being growing up in highly religious and couldn't wear what I wanted or color my hair or color my nails or get tattoos and all of this stuff. And then I went straight from that to being in multiple abusive marriages and relationships. Mm-hmm. So now I'm finally free and I can do what I want, wear what I want, say what I want, and it's just freaking amazing.
It is.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
It's right. But I know your family has to be proud of you. They got
to
Yes, they definitely are. My mom has been so supportive. She's doing the worst part of the book writing, I think, in my opinion, is editing it. So she's editing everything.
Wow.
Wow. Man, that's awesome.
Yes.
That is truly awesome.
Kahunas. That's kahunas. Because I know my mom was living.
I hate that part.
Yeah, I
don't even punctuate anything. I throw in some capital letters, but no. So she's doing all that for the second book right now.
But I think they understand too also that you have to travel your own path.
Yeah.
You have to be your own person. You have to be who you was created to be. You.
My mom. Back
to mom.
Mom, she definitely, my mom was rigid. You know, all you were supposed to ever do was work, die, have kids, and pay bills. That was her plan.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't mine. That's all.
That's how we was brought up.
Yeah.
You know, go work from 7 to 3, take care of the family, have 2.2 kids, and maybe you make a little money, you buy a little house, and you go on that one vacation in the summertime.
Yeah.
That wasn't me. I'm like, y'all can hide this.
I'm going to work that far.
Right.
No, that's definitely not me.
No, I don't. Hey. I still can't figure out how they rode the car that far.
I don't either.
That's what I'm just trying to figure out. Where was I? Wow.
It's just, it wasn't me. It was like once I think it was my military experience that taught me how to be away from home because I was so spoiled, like my first way at home, I cried for the first 3 weeks. You know, like, no, this ain't me. But it taught me a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a whole new world out there that I haven't even seen or heard of. And when I went back home, I had a reality check because I was still doing the same stuff when I was before I left. And I was like, I'm giving this up for this? Something has to change, even though it took me another 10 years to figure that out.
It's okay as long as you figure it out.
Right.
But it was an awesome experience now that it was like, wow, this is a whole new world, and I love what I'm doing now. I'm reaching out. I'm not the little shy kid now hiding in a corner no more because this is what I'm supposed to do, shut up and keep my mouth shut.
Right,
You know,
right.
That's the path right there where I'm following myself.
Right. And it leads you to be able to write the uncomfortable stuff and not care who reads it. That's all part of that journey. I mean, Dean, I'm sure you can identify with that. That writing, you have been
like,
domestic violence, you know, you understand that uncomfortable writing, but you kept doing it. You kept writing.
Yes.
I'm like, I mean, it's for me. I write this for me because it's relieving for me. I'm getting my story out there. And if it resonates with you, I mean, that's wonderful after a show when people come up to me and like, wow, I went through that too. And they tell me their story. And that's so heartwarming and makes me feel so good. And but, I mean, me getting up there and speaking about what happened to me, that's just, I mean, I'm addicted to it. It's a high. And I feel like I need it. I need to do this.
I have a question for you too, Gina. Because this is how you can tell a writer from a person who just write or a writer from an author. When you finish writing your books or your poems, are you mentally drained?
Yeah, a lot of these pieces, I mean, I'm crying
That's
before
it.
I'm writing
That's
it, through
it.
Writing there. It, after writing it. getting it. I'm crying.
You got it.
There it is. Yeah.
Yep.
There it is.
That is the thing right there that I noticed, like, anybody can write a book. They're like, man, I'm putting out books. Boom, 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 boom. After I finish one book, I am mentally drained. I don't want to talk to the editor. I don't want to talk. She can send it to me 5 more times. I will not read it. Because we are mentally drained because we actually use our raw emotions in these books because we're actually telling our life stories through our lenses.
Yeah, definitely. It takes a lot to pull yourself into a piece of work. And then to be ready for the fallout after. Because, see, you're still unknowingly going into this blind, not knowing how people are going to respond, you know. It's a lot.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you write about domestic violence porn, are you also an advocate? Do you do, like, community service and stuff around Tennessee that you're doing with your artwork and stuff?
I've done this piece for a couple different women's therapy groups. They actually said I was, like, the most turned around, I guess, survivor they had, and they read my poem to the board of directors and all of that.
Oh, wow.
They were crying.
Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, when I started therapy 3.5 years ago, I was had just getting out of a really abusive situation, and I felt like, okay, what do I need to do so I can stop getting myself into these unhealthy, toxic relationships? I knew I needed to work on myself and change how I viewed myself and loved myself, and so that's why I put myself in therapy, and I've really connected with the women there. We have a group that we talk every day, and we go out every week, and we're just really close.
And see, that's so amazing because, you know, I have a therapist too, and when they first saw me coming, they was like, hell no. you know, I used to go in there and sit on that sofa and let's chill, be like, hey, let's talk about everything but the sky. But, and they be asking me what I'm eating and all this, and I'm like, everything, you know. But it taught me about self-love and self-care like you're talking about. And it's a lot that I did in them times. Like, I didn't want to get in a relationship because that was my biggest downfall, getting in a relationship. So I had to chill and get to know me. Before I can have it, how can you love somebody else and you don't love your own self?
Right, because you can't. Sick don't help the sick, you know. Two sickos don't make a wallow. That's what they told me.
Yeah, and it's so funny because they're like, uh-oh, here he comes. Mr. Moore, they already know me before I come in there. You know, they're like, here he comes. Because it's for me, it's therapeutic, right? So you get to sit there and tell them all your little what's going on in your life, who you mad at and stuff like that. But a whole lot of people needs that to go to somebody they can talk to and just get everything off that chest.
They do. They do. Right. They need to know it's no shame behind this. It's not unheard of. It's not demeaning in any form. It's an opportunity for somebody to shut up and listen.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to get that. We don't get to always get shut up, listen to the words coming out my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then make reason with me. You know, at least help me think, at least let me know one or two things. I am crazy. I'm not crazy. You know, no gray area. You are, you are. So, you are. Because it gives you room to heal, you know.
Yeah.
It gives you room to heal when you think you got a shot. When you feeling hopeless, there is nothing but hopelessness. It's dark.
And then after you learn to love yourself, you get the moonwalk like you're Michael Jackson. All right, I'm ready now. What do they call it? Singling, ready to mingle.
Yes.
Let me behave. I'm on
single
office.
I'm ready to mingle,
definitely.
I'm, like trying to find I'm trying to find time in between my shows to go on dates. It's hard.
Lord. Me and my personal life is like I work all the time. So, like, I'm finally getting to a point where, you know, I'm ready to, like, okay, I need to take a break a little bit and, you know, start focusing on my personal life and love and all of that other stuff. But at that time, I had to learn to.
You cannot turn a hoe to a housewife. This man just stated not even an hour ago that his cat had chlamydia in the eyes.
I didn't hear that. I was freaking cracking up. I was like, I could barely breathe. I was laughing so hard.
But on a serious note, though, you know, like being single for so long, it's difficult to be like, okay, I like my space now. You can have tater chips and crumbs in the bed.
Yeah.
Your remote can be laying wherever you want to. And then it's like, like when you have your quiet downtime, it's hard for somebody else who's going to be intervening in your quiet downtime.
I don't know how I'm gonna get to that point because I like my space so much. I don't ever have anyone at my house at all ever.
I'm in a relationship, and I thank God they don't live with me because I still am that woman that want to decide when I wake up in the morning whether I want to take a whole bath or shower. Right. I have that option because nobody's getting in the bed with me. Nobody will ever know who is really keeping the secret.
Like I can come home and I don't have to take my work clothes off. I can just lay on my bed because it's my bed.
Right.
You know?
It's yours. You're right.
You can cook what you want, and you don't have to ask them, do you want something to eat, too?
No, I don't care if you don't eat the next year.
Exactly.
Oh my!
I used to go on dates.
About me and my dog. Yeah, I used to go on dates for food when I was younger. I would go on a date. So I had leftovers for lunch for work the next day. I'd be like, God, I ain't bring nothing from the store. So I would go on a date just to get lunch for work the next day. I didn't care whether you ate. It's fine. What happened?
But you know, like for me, it's like, okay, I'm at a point where I'm ready to, you know, chill a little bit. But at the same time, you have to meet that person that's on the same wavelength and same page as you. Or how do you know you seeing the same, danger spots as in past relationships because of what you or I have been through? You know what I mean? When do you know these danger zones are coming? That's the hardest thing.
The red flag.
Thank you, girl. Thank you, my sister, because
I was looking for that.
Red flags are real.
After being in therapy so long, I studied them. So now I'm super good at analyzing people after talking to them for a couple minutes, and I can tell what type of person they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Red flags.
You know, and that's funny for me because I can, too, and I'll be like, you know, boom, boom.
It still come back to crazy, recognize crazy. I know I'm crazy. I don't need another crazy me. So if you get to fold in your napkin multiple times like me at lunch, you can't come over and you can't get any because we can't be both in there folding damn napkins all night. No, no.
They take off their clothes and they got to fold it in a little pile like Sheldon from Big Bang Theory.
Now, I don't like my clothes all messed up laid everywhere now. So I fold mine nice and neat because I might have to put them on real fast.
Military
or 60 days in, because inmates come home, and trust me, I know some. They come home, and they full of this stuff, and they still put it at the end of the bed. I'm sorry, bunk, you know.
Oh, my gosh, y'all are something else.
I cannot deal with that at all.
Oh, my goodness. He's a neat, nice, and tidy guy. Come on now.
I'm messy, marvelous.
I am messy.
That's what
I do not want an OCD guy.
I mean, you could have the boots swinging off the ceiling fan. That's what y'all want to do.
Yes.
I am messy and marvelous.
I do not complain. I'm not naggy. I'm not annoying. I do not care at all.
Yeah. Okay.
But I'm a lot different than other people because my husband passed away. So, and there's poetry about that in my book about missing those type of things. So, like, I have friends that don't complain about their husbands, and I'm like, well, at least your husband's not dead. Like, really.
Right.
I do not complain about shit like that.
Me either. I step over sneakers. Like I said, I'm in a relationship. And he doesn't live here, but he may as well. I step over PlayStation controllers. I step over sneakers. I don't care. I've had enough losses that that kind of stuff don't move me any longer.
Yes, exactly.
It doesn't. He eats weird. I don't care. Like, he's out now gallivanting around the world. I don't care.
Gallivanting around the world.
Let me do my podcast. I'm going to bed, because if he was here, he'd be asking questions to ask the guests. I'm like, why don't you press one and answer them?
No.
No,
oh,
that's too easy.
I'm gallivanting around the world without me.
He is. He's just out. I don't know where. I don't care. I'm going to
that's
bed after
well.
This.
Well, I hope my next love is out gallivanting around the world looking for me.
All in a 12-block radius. That's the sad part. He's in a 12-block radius.
I can't.
12-block radius. I'm like, wow. Maybe because I'm not from here. You know, I'm not from the South. So maybe people do have close friends in the 12-block radius. Mine lives in a different barrel.
Believe me, they
so.
Do. And they don't go out that 12-block radius either.
No.
Where are y'all at? Where do y'all live at?
I'm in Greensboro.
And I'm
in
Greensboro, Georgia.
South Carolina. I'm in Greensboro, North Carolina. Yes. Yeah. And where are you tonight?
I'm in Georgia tonight.
Oh, don't say it like you always there. That's what I say.
But
where
you live
are you tonight?
North Carolina?
I do. I live in North Carolina. I moved from Baltimore to Greensboro, North Carolina in 2005.
Got it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
well, y'all should
like,
come through Nashville.
I plan on it very soon, hopefully the end of the summer, because I just want to jump across that pothole.
Yes, absolutely.
That's
absolutely.
True about it. I want to jump across that pothole. I want to know I'm in two different states all in one time. Oh, my God. It's the little things. It's the little things. Yeah.
You know, but it was an honor having you on the show tonight so you could express yourself and let the world know who you are and what you do and your amazing poems. So before we let you go, I want you to let everybody know your social media sites, how they can follow you and how they can get in touch with you and some of your work. I'm also going to post it on our Author's Lounge page as well.
Yes. Thank you so much. Y'all can follow me on Instagram at Black Widow Poet. Also at Chronicle Poet is the poetry collective in Tennessee. And then on Facebook, it's Black Widow Poetry and then Prodigal Poet.
Cool.
And that's
I also
linked
have
to
a
my
little,
book and all of it.
I also have a little contest that they sent to my email for poets to enter. I will ship some of them your way through Melissa so you can enter some of these, your poetry in some of these contests.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Let me know of any anthologies you hear of. I love submitting different anthologies as well.
You just missed one. Don't worry. I got you next time. You just missed one, but I got you.
I'm doing as much as I can. I try to catch as many as I can. I think I'm in like 12 now.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing.
It's
I wanna,
been
yes.
It has. And I thank you again. I enjoy following you. I'm grateful to you for joining me. You took a chance on me, and I appreciate I thank you.
Thank you. It was wonderful talking. I'm so honored to meet you all and be in your presence and be able to speak my truth.
Oh, man, it's been an awesome show tonight. Yes.
It has. I thank Donald McKinney again. Again, we're going to keep Brad in prayer. His son, he was due to schedule to be on tonight, and his son was bitten by a dog. And he's doing good. Our prayers go out to him and his family, praying for a speedy recovery for his son, and he will be joining us at a later time.
You will be joining.
Cool. Oh, man, I miss him when I talk to old Brad.
I
Road
knew,
dog.
You knew he was going to cut out.
But, yeah, it was so crazy. You know, he sent me the pictures, and my heart just melted, you know. And
yeah.
This little guy is such a trooper. You know, kids are they're resilient.
Yeah.
They are. The kids are resilient. He was just laying there chilling with his bandage on, like, okay.
Definitely. What we got going on? We got the little – let's talk about this little children's thing for about a little couple of minutes we got going
okay,
on.
Okay, yeah, we do have a few minutes left to speak on that. You know what? I love Outside the Box. I love it. You know, Jeffrey Mike is – we are presenting a Kids Mother's Day show, and what we're doing – it's going to be aired on the Author's Lounge on Tuesday, May 10th from 7 to 8. And we are asking the parents, please help these kids call in. You know what, to keep it honest, I don't care what these kids do. I don't care if they sing, rap, talk, do, just say hi, get nervous. I want them to know they have somewhere to come. I do. And I hope this won't be the last year we do this. You know, I want us to kind of keep this going. I would love to.
Yes, because I think it's positive to do something positive in kids' life, to let them know it's another way. Not only rapping and sports and entertainment, that, you know, using your mind is also a tool that can get you very far in this world.
Yeah.
And just giving them some hope and some motivation to think out the box as well.
And if your parents happen to be an author or poet or writer, this wouldn't be great to collaborate with your kids? Wow.
Mm-hmm.
My kids are too old. I had me and my daughter,
we co-hosted this show one night, and she had a blast.
What I want, you know, kids who are interested in doing this, and you know, it's about the mothers and Mother's Day.
Yes.
We can do this again for Father's Day because they are
good
fathers.
Yep, we sure can.
We can do this again for Father's Day. I don't know why people seem to believe that we can't include these men. There are men raising their children.
That is, definitely.
They are, and they need to be recognized more. And and the men that's raising their siblings. They need it. And I think if we can make this show kick off on Mother's Day again, it's on the 10th. That's a Tuesday, May 10th from 7 to 8. If we can get this to kick off again, hey, maybe we can get one of the kids to host with you. Hey, maybe I can get one of the kids to host with me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Lord. Lord. We're going to have a blast.
Then they won't cut up his bag.
They'll concentrate for a little bit.
yeah, you know, kids get thrown off quick. You know, you got to keep that attention span, because if you don't, they were bare to the left for you.
Hey, the phone be up against the wall. They be like, what you say?
No, they be playing Roblox or something else. They just will drop the phone, leave, go back to the TV, look at YouTube. You be stuck like Chuck,
right?
Come on, get back over here, Tay-Tay. Tay-Tay done. Tay-Tay four. Tay-Tay the fattest species or animal, you know. Tay-Tay gonna come back later. Man, too. All of them. They gonna come back later.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. But yeah, that's gonna be May 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. And we're just staying at the show. It's going to be fun for the kids. We wanted to do something different because, you know, we don't want this day to be about who we lost, but the gift and the grace that God gave, you know, the women to have kids and the baby, for them, the kids, to express that stuff and how grateful they are for their mothers.
Yeah. And it carries over. Like I said, I hope this is not just the one-time thing.
Yeah.
Whether I'm here or not, I want this annual thing. Like I said, same thing with the father.
Mm-hmm.
I would love for it to be annually, so that authors can see, and it helps authors to see where the kids' minds are.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if a kid draw a picture and call. Press
That's right.
One. Let him describe that picture to me. I can better envision what he was thinking than probably what they're looking at.
Right.
You know, yeah. I mean, it, let that kid tell me what they drew. If we can see it, great. If we can't, we're going to talk about it. You're going to tell me what you drew and why you drew it.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but Hez, I love you. I have enjoyed tonight with
love
you.
Love you, too.
I have enjoyed this. Oh, man, this was a good, this was fun. This was a good show.
Yes,
took
it
me
was.
Through a range of emotions, but I had a blast with you, man, as always. And God's will, I'll be back here next Tuesday with you.
All right. I'm going to give a shout-out to the state that pays the bills. And then we're going to say,
yes, please.
Love and happiness. I want to thank I want to thank Drip the Mic for presenting the Author's Lounge tonight. The call-in number is 646-378-0355. Press 1 to speak, or you can tune in, www.blogtalkradio. It's been a great night. Any last thoughts, Ms. Melissa?
And the fans went wild.
Yes. Peace out, everyone.
Good night.
Good night.
Just like music.
Be free and absorb the sound that keep me round, doing my thing constantly with no worries, peace to keep merry,
just like music,
to keep me flowing, to keep me going, to keep me growing, to keep me to eat from knowing what happens out there is not my concern, you wanna die, it's not my
just
turn,
like music.
To do something to me like jumping the Mercedes on the highway, doing over 80 without music, baby,
I'll go crazy, just like music.
Make me call my homie on the phone, like there's something new out that got me in the zone. Just that feeling got me, I wish music can adopt me.
Just like music.
With my woman, got me in the air, saying sweet nothing, make love come out the mouth, no fronting, like all of a sudden,
just like music,
taking away your worries and cares, any problems, music will be right there, together match, yo, we a perfect pair, is that true, Marvin?
Yeah, music,
yo, to get you the bangness, body's